As soon as it was even possible for me to recognize the pain that this was causing you, rather than trying to justify my behavior, understanding right away that, yes, I did break a boundary, that's right. Wow. How did that happen?
Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography, but through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Yes, hello, everyone. We're sure glad to be here for another week, especially this week, because this is our 50th episode.
I know. It is so amazing that we have made it thus far.
Yes, it's been quite a journey, and we're very excited that we've gotten this far, and we have no plans to stop.
Right.
Until God tells us to stop, we're going to keep trucking along and putting out something for y'all every week.
You know, I don't think that we ever really doubted that we would make it this far. It really has been just one week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making the recordings and editing them and getting them put out. Although we do have a planning board with our titles planned at least 10 episodes ahead so that we can get a view and plan for what we're talking about.
Yeah, but we just haven't been able to batch record yet, which we're looking forward to in the future, the possibility of that. So we can take a vacation maybe once in a while.
Right. We're really glad that we can be here each week to connect with our listeners.
Yes, because we love to give hope and make sure that people know that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Scripture tells us that out of the overflow of our hearts, we have something to give. And our heart is definitely toward letting folks who listen know that they're not alone and that there is hope. So if you've heard nothing else from us over and over again for the last year, hopefully you heard those two things from us, that you're not alone and that there is hope.
And we want to remind you that if you're not getting our weekly newsletter yet and you want to connect with us in an even deeper way, be sure to sign up at insider.beyondbrokenvows.com.
Emily, we've been really excited at the response to our insider newsletter as we
Yes.
see people connecting with the links and moving forward and contacting us through that insider page.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to seeing how that page is going to grow in the future and serve our insiders in even a greater capacity.
Yes.
So, Emily, before we get into today's content, I want for us to read a wonderful review that we got from one of our listeners named Bess.
And Bess is not just a listener. She has been a client. And so she titled it Podcast and Coaching Review. She says, "The Beyond Broken Vows podcast gives you an inside look into the marriage of two people who have been through the devastation of betrayal in marriage and the miraculous works that God did inside the hearts and minds of those two people who surrendered everything to him. Johnny and Emily tell their story with honesty and frankness of how infidelity and betrayal had impacted them individually and collectively in marriage. They graciously and decisively share the practical and the spiritual steps that God led them through in recovery, healing, and ultimately the rebuilding of a marriage that not only survived, but is thriving."
And Bess continues, "After listening to the podcast, I reached out to Beyond Broken Vows for help and was responded to quickly. I was able to meet with Emily for coaching twice. I appreciate her heart for God and her willingness to pray for and with those that she is coaching. Her compassion and wisdom have been a great help to me. The insight and understanding that she brings to the coaching session has been a tremendous help. The coaching options that are available with Emily for the ladies, Johnny for the men, or with Johnny and Emily together for couples or individuals, are of great value to anyone or any couple that is seeking help. Johnny and Emily say quite frequently in their podcast episodes, there is hope. And when you meet with them for coaching, you will find, that they not only say it, they believe it and have lived it.
Thank you, Bess. That is such a wonderful review. We couldn't have asked for higher praise, and we are just so grateful that you found our podcast and our coaching helpful. That is our aim. That is our mission. We really are doing this because God has asked us to, and we're doing it to the best of our ability. And so we greatly appreciate when we do learn that we have helped someone else.
Yes, and Bess, please remember that Emily and I are praying for you and your husband as you continue to move forward in healing.
Yes.
So friends, in light of that review, we invite you to come work with us to help you navigate the difficult nuances of your broken marriage. Our coaching program will help you discover God's plan for you and your spouse to experience healing and restoration, resulting in a better marriage than you can even imagine possible. Head over now to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com, and we'll get started with you.
You know, Johnny, as we start out today, I want to ask our listeners a few questions like we often do.
Yes.
So, is your marriage thriving after sexual betrayal? Maybe not. Maybe you're just surviving. You might just be at the beginning of the journey to healing and still don't even know if you want to stay married. Maybe you and your spouse have been working hard on recovering from this devastation, but you aren't really connecting in a fulfilling way yet. Or maybe you have reached a point as a couple where you feel like you have a brand new marriage, and it's better than the one you had before betrayal and addiction.
You know, Emily, we fall into this last category, but that doesn't mean that we don't still have very hard days.
That's right.
Can a marriage thrive even while experiencing reoccurring painful moments from the past? And might this be a marker for how well a marriage is thriving?
Well, we're going to find out in this podcast today. And our prayer is that everyone listening will eventually find the peace and joy of a marriage redeemed by God and made new. You know, it's not easy getting here or staying here, but it is so worth the effort.
Absolutely.
Johnny, before we dive in, would you go ahead and pray for us?
Yes, I will. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Father, as Emily and I, we bring these topics up and we have a desire to speak of them, Lord, you give us this blessing of walking through the topic in our own marriage so that we can connect with it. And Lord, it's been like that for us today. So as we talk about thriving versus surviving and what it actually means, I pray, Father, that those who are listening would hear our hearts in it and hear our message that there is hope for moving forward, something beyond just settling for the status quo and moving forward into your greater plan for us. Thank you, Father, and we ask for your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Emily, today we're going to change our normal routine for how we go through an episode. Normally, you and I are presenting some facts and some measurements and some steps to move forward. And today, I just want to open up the microphone and you and I just have a discussion on this topic of thriving versus surviving. This is our 50th episode. And so even in doing this podcast, we have to make a choice of whether we're going to thrive in it and move forward into greater things that God is calling us into or just survive by putting something out each week.
Exactly. And today, as you mentioned in your prayer, it was a difficult day for us. Y'all will be hearing this a week after it happened, but we did walk through an incident that kind of woke us up to the fact that, yeah, we are thriving, even though we went through something really hard.
Right.
We normally are going along pretty well in our marriage now, and we're not struggling with the fallout of the betrayal as much anymore. But sometimes things just pop up.
Yeah, they do. And that comes just as a result of living life. Just to frame up what it is that we're talking about, surviving versus thriving. Surviving is just holding on to what you have right now with no real plan for moving forward.
Yeah, it's kind of like maintenance.
Yeah.
You're just keeping it at a certain level and making sure it doesn't go backwards.
Right. We talked about that a little last week when we mentioned sobriety versus recovery. And the word picture in that was playing in the sandbox while the beach is just right there. The sandbox can be fun, but there can be so much more. And so the so much more we're speaking about this week is the thriving. Thriving is moving forward, experiencing life, allowing the difficult things to come in and be a part of it, and even in a very strange way, celebrating the difficulties because we get an opportunity to address them and make the choice whether to settle and deny its existence or accept it for what it is, address it, and move forward.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we're going to be pretty transparent with you guys today and tell you a story about what happened this morning. And this is podcast day. We normally try to record on Mondays. Once in a while, we have to adjust our schedule, but Mondays are podcast day, and we release each podcast the following Monday. And so today, we woke up knowing that we were going to be podcasting. But as we often do, we started to have a little conversation before we got out of bed. And Johnny, you were telling me a story about something a few days ago that happened with one of your clients. And you were just making conversation because you weren't alarmed at what you were telling me. It wasn't a confession. It was just conversation.
Right.
But it turns out that something you said really hurt me.
Right.
And scared me. And I'm going to let you take over.
Okay. Right. Because by now we've done enough buildup and they're probably waiting for us to actually say what's happened. So, Emily, when we are doing this podcast, we try very much to be vulnerable. And when we define vulnerability, that's sharing who you are at risk. Mm-hmm. And usually it's the risk of rejection.
Right.
So most of you know that I am still working in landscaping. We are doing this podcast, but the landscaping is what provides our major income so that we can do this. Mm-hmm. And one day, we do hope that I can move away from that and be full-time working the podcast and the coaching as well. So I go do some landscaping work for a client. She is an older woman, 70 plus, and I finish the job at the end of the day. I knock on the door to get paid, and she invites me to come in. This is not something that I do. I don't go into clients' houses, period. It's not a normal thing for me to do. But I found myself completely caught off guard and unalarmed by the current situation. She's a very nice lady who reminds me of my mom. No reason why I should feel threatened or feel like I'm in a dangerous position. So she just says, well, come on in and I'll write you a check real quick. And so I went in. She had a friend on speakerphone. There was nothing alarming about the situation at all. We chatted a bit while she wrote the check for me. We said goodbye, and that was the end. I walked out the door and came home. But what really occurred there has nothing to do with that it was a completely innocent episode. Emily, you and I had set boundaries that I don't go into clients' homes.
Yeah, and that's because part of your acting out history included you going into two separate clients' homes, divorced women, and you had sex with them.
That's right. And so this became a no-go boundary for me. And because I was just so unalarmed by the situation, I didn't think. And that's part of the problem. I shared that with you this morning that I went into her house to get the check. And this is where it didn't go well for you. It did not sit well at all. And this is where the blissful morning that you woke up to a pleasant conversation where we get to record a podcast today, went south really fast.
Yeah, it did. You also shared with me that she was going on a date for the first time since her husband passed.
Right.
And she was joking around with you, saying, you don't want to go on a date with me, do you?
Yes, that's right.
And you told me that you said, I don't think my wife would like that.
Right.
And I got real silent because I don't know who this person is. I've never met her. I don't know if she's attractive to you. So there were two things that really, really bothered me about that incident. Yes, it was innocent. Nothing happened. You were telling me this story because it was funny or fun. You didn't even think about the fact that you had broken a boundary.
That's correct.
But you could tell from my body language that I was upset. So we talked about it. And to your credit, you didn't make any excuses. You quickly understood why I could be so upset and so hurt by what you did. And so you owned up to it.
Yes.
And it took us a little while to really talk through the nuances of it. We decided that it was a slip. We talked about slips and relapses a couple of episodes ago.
Right.
And that slip had nothing to do with any sexual expression at all, but it was a boundary that you don't go into women's houses.
Well, just to clarify, when we set that boundary, you made it clear that it was single women and women home alone. I set the boundary of not going into client houses, period, so that I could keep that distance even further away. And that was a self-imposed boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did consider what happened, a slip, and it was a wake-up call, one of those warning signs that said, you have to be on your guard at all times. You can't be lax ever for the rest of our lives. You have to always be vigilant in what you are doing, where you are, who you're talking to, what the situation is. And that's just one of the consequences of sexual betrayal. You don't get to just be happy-go-lucky doing things anymore. There are consequences for what you did, and this is one of them.
Right. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, and everything I do has consequences for good or ill. And because this was such a blind spot, something that just didn't even register as danger, it's like, yep, got to get back to the vigilance and remember that there is a hard line here. But the biggest part in this for me was as soon as it was even possible for me to recognize the pain that this was causing you, rather than trying to justify my behavior, understanding right away that, yes, I did break a boundary, that's right. Wow. How did that happen? So we go back and we deconstruct it. Well, we got down to the fact that it was just a total blind spot. I was off guard by a really nice older lady with no reason to think that this was a problem. But with every woman, that boundary has to be there.
Yes. And then the other thing that really bothered me that I brought up was your response to her when she was joking around with you. You said that my wife wouldn't like that or appreciate that. I told you that I would have preferred that you said, I'm a happily married man. Because the other statement leaves a door open for somebody to think that maybe you would be interested even if your wife wouldn't like it.
Yes, that's correct. And the other part of that is that by me saying that you wouldn't be happy with that, that's me putting the blame on you and not taking responsibility for my own behaviors. That's my part. That's my role in this, is to always be responsible for my behaviors, not pass it off onto you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I don't do this because my wife doesn't like it. I don't go here because my wife doesn't like it. I make those choices because I understand that they're not good for me, not good for our marriage, and not good for us in a healthy way at all.
Yeah. So we talked through that and there were a lot of tears. I have to admit, it wasn't just an easy breezy talk like this is.
Right.
And we are recording past 6 p.m., which is when we usually knock off of work. And we're still working because we had to take time today to process, to recover from that incident.
Right.
So we did things like weeding in the front yard and taking walks around the property and cataloging different plants that we saw on our phone app. We took the time to process the feelings that came out of that. My feelings of anger, of being scared, sadness, that this is even a reality. It really brought into sharp relief that this is still a part of our life, that this is our reality. This isn't my new story, which I never wanted. I can go days and weeks and months without really thinking about it now. But when something like this happens, it all comes flooding back. But the good thing is that because we've gone through so much recovery and healing, that what happened today, normally in the past, would have knocked me out for 3 days.
Right.
Emotionally.
Yes. And I remember those days.
I would not want to engage with you. I kept my distance emotionally. I nursed my anger and it really took me a while to wrestle it to the ground with God and figure out how I was going to respond. And today it was just so quick in retrospect, you know, looking back, this was so quick. we were able to get back on solid ground so fast. You made a healing apology to me. And that was so helpful because it gave me the opportunity to also tell you what you weren't understanding about how you hurt me.
Yeah.
You can tell me how you think you've hurt me, but then that healing apology leaves room for me to respond by saying, that's true, but here's some more.
That's correct.
This is really what I feel.
Right.
And then you can apologize for that as well.
Right. And that's a little bit of how it went this morning. I was able to enumerate what I believed my violation was. You confirmed that, but then added to it what else there was. And because we opened up that conversation, I just wanted to ask you this question in this moment, because it's one that pops up into my head when I'm doing it. Does it bother you when you know that I'm using the healing apology on you? Because we wrote it out. We know step by step what it is and how it's going to go. So when I start doing it, what does that do for you?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because honestly, I felt instantly that it was too soon for you to be doing that apology. I hadn't even had time to process what had happened before you were apologizing for it. And in the past, that would have really made me very angry, actually, because it would have felt like you're just trying to quickly get out of trouble, even if you were sincere. But that irritation that you were using this rote apology on me, you know, it was just very quick. Yes, I do think that sometimes. It's like, what? He's using this on me?
Are you doing the thing on me?
Yeah. But the thing is a beautiful thing. You know, that healing apology is such a beautiful tool. And by the time we get to the bottom of it, I know I'm going to forgive you. It doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden feeling better and let's go on with our day. No, I'm still feeling those negative emotions and I do have to work through those. But it gives me the opportunity to really place it in God's hands at that point and allow Him to work on my heart and allow Him to help me to respond in a healthy way to you. See, you have gotten so good. You don't abandon me anymore. You stay physically present. And you let me decide if I want you present or not, but you're going to be there until I say, I need my space. You wrapped me in your arms. And my first instinct, of course, is to resist. But that was just for a couple of seconds. And then I allowed you to hold me. And something happens when we connect physically like that. It softens our hearts towards each other. If we sit back and cross our arms and put that physical barrier between us, that also, I think, causes the emotional barrier to grow and to harden. And so you reaching for me and me accepting your embrace, we both had to make that decision to do something that wasn't selfish, something that was healing for the other person. And that really speeds up the amount of time that it takes to heal from an event like this.
Right. So, Emily, I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
Can you tell us what you believe to be the number one part of this that helped you come out of it so quickly today?
I'm not sure it's just one thing, Johnny. I think it's a combination of things that has been cultivated over our recovery journey together. Like we mentioned, starting out with you not abandoning me, you staying present, and you reaching for me to comfort me. That's the first step. And then owning up to what you did, even though you didn't think you did anything wrong, you didn't get defensive, you didn't justify, you didn't deflect. These are all things that you used to do.
Correct.
But you really thought about it and quickly figured out that you had broken this boundary. And that it was hurtful to me because it's a scary thing when a boundary is broken. What is the response? What do you do? Is it going to happen again? Is it this snowball that's going to just keep going down the hill and into full-blown sexual addiction again? Those are always the thoughts that come with a slip. And we want to clarify right here, I think, that a slip isn't necessarily something sexual. It's not necessarily your inner circle behavior. It can be something like happened today. It can be something like lying or breaking a promise. You know, it's whatever you and I have decided together where the boundaries are. And then I had to do my part. I had to not shut you out. I had to be soft enough to accept your comfort. It took both of us utilizing the tools that we have learned, displaying the growth in our emotional maturity that we have both experienced on this journey. And so engaging in that process, it just gets easier and easier. And we already know that we're sticking it out together for the rest of our lives, right?
That's right.
And so when we go into something like this, we know that there's the other side of this. And we want to get there as fast as possible now because we don't want to waste any time. We enjoy our marriage so much now that we don't want to waste time being angry or upset or unforgiving or walking in shame or any of those things. We really want to live in freedom. And so attacking these things head on, not ignoring them, not denying that they've happened, you know, this is all a part of thriving. This is working through it. In any marriage with any problems, this is how you have a thriving marriage. You work on the problems, you get through them together, you're stronger on the other side. And it's no different with sexual betrayal in that sense, but the hurt is deeper.
Right.
The pain runs deeper. So I don't want to be in pain. I want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to enjoy my marriage. I want to enjoy my life. And so I'm going to choose to thrive in this marriage.
Thank you, Emily, so much for sharing your perspective on that. It seems to me that what I'm hearing a whole lot of is that through the whole process that you just described, there was a separating truth from lies, the truth of what's actually going on and the lies of the past.
Right.
Although those events of the past are real, but there are always lies about, you know, is this where you're going to end up again? Is this where we're headed? The enemy wants so much to drag us back into that defeatist, hopeless mindset.
Mm-hmm.
When something like this occurs, and it sounds to me like you made a choice to not just entertain the truth, but to embrace truth, almost like a safety line to pull you out.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to clarify, because that's a little bit the way that it was for me today, because there are two sides to every event.
Mm-hmm.
When we're coming out of it, there's also my side.
Right.
In the past, when I was acting as an addict before recovery started, my shame and my guilt would take over. I would want to apologize right away in order to stabilize and fix as quick as I could to get out of trouble, just like you were describing earlier. I would allow myself to overfunction in a way that I'm trying to fix everything around you, be super polite and give you everything. Oh, honey, I will do everything that you need. You know, really what I'm saying is I'll do whatever it takes to not be in trouble with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the godly sorrow had not set in at that point. That's what I was like before recovery began. But this morning, because of all the work through recovery, I had the capacity to remain present with you and to engage you where you needed me, not where I thought I was, and really kind of forgetting about how this is affecting me. We're going to be able to deal with that in time. But I'm the one who broke the boundary, and you're the one who is hurt as a result of that. So focusing where it hurts, don't we do that with our own bodies? We focus where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
While we were out weeding this morning, I was able to work my truths that this isn't something that's going to spiral me and send me back to day one because I'm such a loser that I can't possibly maintain one simple boundary. The lies of the enemy would want to say that to me. But I got to say that in all honesty, this time, those lies didn't even start.
Wow.
I believe that that's because I made the choice to stay plugged into you. Rather than pull back into myself, I think that those old ways of thinking, self-serving thinking and self-pity, all of that would have sunk in again if I would have pulled back into myself rather than reaching out to you.
Uh-huh.
And so because I didn't go back to that day one experience, I could stay more present for you. And in my own way, separating truth from lies for me was a big component in being able to walk through this with you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So recovery is such a blessing in our life. And we realize today that a marriage can survive without recovery, but a marriage can't thrive without recovery.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about a marriage that has gone through sexual betrayal.
Yes.
And thriving doesn't mean that there ceases to be painful events.
Right.
Because there will always be something that pops up, no matter how much we think that it's all good now. We live in a broken world. We're going to have difficulties.
So, Emily, I really like what you're saying there about reminding folks that even in the context of sexual betrayal and recovery and addiction recovery, that difficult things, slips, these things are just an inevitable part. And I have a little bit of a smile on my face because for the most part, I have moved from having sex addict problems into having normal human experience problems.
Yeah.
Marriages that don't have addiction components or betrayal still have one spouse or the other that will break a boundary. Something that can blow up trust.
Right.
Even though it's not a sexual violation or anything like that. Those are normal human experiences, and I get to have those now. And I'm learning how to separate out what's addictive behavior and what's a normal human experience. So I'm kind of happy sometimes that I get to make mistakes like normal people. That's a little weird to say, I get it, but now I'm tearing up because it's evidence of a mind that was once broken and couldn't recognize right from wrong and feel like a human being again. And so I'm so grateful for it. So in our last episode or in this episode, if it seems that we're coming down so hard on sobriety only, if you're living this life where you're just checking the box of just trying not to act out, there's so much more. You can have a healed mind. You can live life like normal people do. And it's exciting to know that I can be this way and why recovery and thriving are synonymous with each other in the sphere that you and I are talking about. But on the same token, there is merit to surviving. Sometimes that's all you've got.
Right.
You are coaching with some of these ladies, and that's all they got. Survival from day to day without losing it.
Right.
And trying to figure it out, and they end up contacting you so that they can figure out how to move from just surviving into thriving. Maybe they're not asking that question, but they're like, I can't stay in survival mode. I need something more. This hurts.
Right.
And they're asking for that, and they want it so much. And men, we as husbands have the capacity to help them have that when we ourselves engage in recovery and make a choice to thrive rather than just survive. When we throw away statements like, hey, I'm not looking at pornography anymore. Can't we just move forward? That hurts our wives. Emily, you just correct me if I'm wrong. If I were to say something like that, it would be as though I didn't even know how you were hurting.
Yeah, exactly. It would make me feel like I didn't matter. It would make me feel like everything that you did was all about you and it didn't affect me at all. I know it's scary for men to come out and tell their wives all the things that they've done, all the things that they think. And yeah, I get it. But Johnny, you're here today to tell them it's worth the telling.
Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. This is as vulnerable as we know how to be appropriately. Because there are some things in our marriage that you guys just aren't going to get to hear because that's private between Emily and I. But we will give you everything in our lives that we deem to be appropriate if we even suspect that it might help you move forward and know that you're not alone and that there's hope.
So, as always, we want to point people to Jesus because, you know what? We can do everything by the book. But unless we go to Jesus, we're not going to be successful. We can't do this on our own. We can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
We completely believe that it is not possible to have a thriving, connected, intimate marriage without Jesus being involved.
And I suspect that some might contend that that's possible, but we don't believe that. And that's the truth that we're standing on.
Yeah, we're going to always point you back to Jesus. And so we do that with our little segment called Here's the Word.
Yes. And Emily, we have three words from the scriptures that we want to share with you today. So Emily, why don't you start with the first one?
Sure. It's from Proverbs 2, verse 7. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity.
Wow, so good.
Yeah, I love it. Proverbs is so full of wisdom.
The next one we have to share for you is a very familiar one. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And of course, that's Jeremiah 29:11. And those are such great words of promise. But in the context of sexual betrayal, I just want to say this, I'm compelled to. You got to remember that Jeremiah was prophesying while the Israelites had already been carried off to Babylon. They were being punished by God for blatant disobedience. But God's love for them, even in disobedience, didn't stop. Jeremiah prophesies. He's sharing the word of God that he himself received to the exiles in Babylon, this promise that I am still with you, even though you've been removed from my land where my name sits. You've been removed far away from that, but even there, I'm with you. And he promises that you won't just survive there, you will thrive. And if you go into verse 12, you can see how he says, drive your tent stakes deep, live there, mingle, bless the people around you, because as I am a blessing to you because I love you, I will bless them. Even in your exile, because of me, you will be able to help others. Isn't that amazing? I love you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he is so amazing. And I want to just finish with this verse from John 16:33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen. And Emily, our hope for today comes really out of that last verse, where it says that we're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart. Because we are prone to wallow in the self-pity of our circumstances that are painful, the capacity to thrive comes from the Lord. But we have to step into God's provision in order to thrive. And when Jesus says, take heart, that's him extending the invitation to us to enter into a thriving life rather than just holding on for dear life.
Yes, praise God.
Emily, this has been such a good discussion where we just were able to kind of turn off our agenda and just have a really good conversation. I'm glad that we're able to bring that to our listeners. But now it's time to close it down in prayer. And would you do that for us?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your promises that we can hold on to. They really reveal the depth of your love for us. And your Son gave us the answer to life. He is life. He is truth. And I just pray that we would all grasp onto that truth every single day. Know that we are loved by God and that we do have a purpose. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we can still look up and see the beauty of God at work in our lives. Thank you for walking through this with us, and I pray a blessing on all those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So if you're thriving in your marriage, we want to say praise the Lord.
Yes.
We are so excited for you, and we thank the Lord that that's true in your life. But if you're not thriving and you're struggling just to survive, please reach out to someone you trust for support and guidance. We would also love to walk along with you on your journey to thriving if you would have us help you. You can connect with us at coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. Again, that's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com.
Yes, and you can also write to us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com because we would love to pray for you.
So on next week's episode, we're going to go into another really exciting topic that folks are just really ready to hear about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about full therapeutic disclosures and...
and infidelity polygraphs.
Wow. Sign me up for that class.
So until next time...
marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today... please share this show with someone else you know who's going through a similar situation and needs to know they're not alone. One of the best ways you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.